Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Reverend John Reynolds, and I want to welcome you to worship here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're so glad to have you with us. We're so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home this weekend. I wanted to let you know that this video has been pre-recorded. We're not able to live stream our Vacation Bible School service celebration due to copyright reasons. And so we refrained from doing that this week. And so we are going to create a pre-recorded worship service for you to experience and enjoy. The message this week will be about the movie Wonka, which is a backstory of Willy Wonka from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. If you want to stick around and enjoy this service, we hope that it's a gift to you as you strive to help to grow in your faith and to help others as you continue to strive to help people know God, love God, and serve God. We hope that this experience is a blessing to you. We're in the midst of a sermon series where we're looking at movies and thinking about how they impact us, how they speak to us, how they help us grow in our own faith. And so we hope that something that we say or sing or pray together would help draw you closer to the one who created you and loves you and is walking alongside you in the midst of your journey. And so as we worship together this morning, I wanted to share with you just a couple of announcements. We're really excited to gather the group of Friendly Links, people who help welcome people into the church. If you have any interest in doing that, please feel free to send an email to one of the pastoral staff. We would love to have you be a part of the group of people who go out of their way to make sure that every visitor feels welcome in our church and feels like they are able to experience the joy of being together. I want to let you know that on August 2nd, we are going to be having worship outside of Whitmore Lake. We won't be having our typical 11 o'clock service here at our Brighton campus. It'll be one service here at 9:30 at our Brighton campus, traditional style, and then we'll be going over to Whitmore Lake to have a picnic and all church celebration. You're welcome to join us if you're interested in doing that. That also means there will be only one live stream service next week at 9:30. As we continue to worship together, I want to share with you that on September 13th, we're going to be having just one worship service as well here at our Brighton campus. We're going to gather everyone together and have one service here at 10 o'clock. So note the service time change at that point. And with that, I want to encourage you to join us as we open our hearts to worship. Let us worship the God who loves us and created us and calls us together in this time. Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for loving us and supporting us even when we're going through the trials and tribulations of this life. We're grateful for the ways in which you meet us in our distress, that you meet us in the moments where we don't know what to do next, that you walk alongside us, that you go beneath us and before us and come after us, even when we're struggling. As we reflect on the themes that are captured in the movie Wonka, we pray that each and every one of us would reflect on those moments that we wrestled and doubted, where we were afraid, where we wondered what the path looked like ahead of us. And as we wrestle with those things, we pray that you would surround us with your love and your grace. As we go through this life, there are twists and turns, there are ups and downs, there are peaks and valleys, and we're so grateful that you're a God that doesn't abandon us when we're in our valleys. And in fact, so many times it's there where we encounter you most vividly in our greatest hour of need. And so be with us. For those of us who are struggling, we pray that you would be the wind beneath our wings, that you would raise us up on the wings of eagles, and that you would hold us in the palm of your hand. And for those of us who are living out a mountaintop experience, we pray that you would surround us and enfold us with your steadfast and never-ending love. As we go forward in this life, God, be with us and allow us to be a blessing to those who are struggling around us. Use our hands, our feet, our mouths, our hearts, and our minds to make a difference in your world. And now we pause in the midst of busy lives to take a moment to offer the prayers that are on our hearts as we silently pray before you. And now we continue our prayer today by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Reading I want to share with you is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. It begins in verse 13. It's about being salt and light in the world. I invite you to hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to continue to be the salt and light of the world. Amen. Well, this particular movie, I actually just watched earlier this week for the first time. Had a chance to watch it last Sunday. And as I was watching it, I have to admit, I had the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie in the back of my mind. I expected something similar. I didn't really know what to anticipate or what to expect as I watched Wonka for the very first time. But I was definitely caught up in the backstory of the infamous Willy Wonka, where he grew up, what his story was all about. And this particular movie, if you haven't seen it before, sort of weaves some of his future realities with his past realities, some of his backstory growing up, the experiences that he had that shaped him into the person that he was. And what we learn about Wonka is that he's been through a lot. He's been through all kinds of challenges. The movie kind of depicts him growing up in a single parent family. Things are difficult and rough, but through it all, his mom is a consistent, strong, wise confidant in his life, somebody who consistently gives him a future filled with hope, who pushes him to be the very best version of himself, who teaches him life lessons, who was essentially a mentor, a confidant, a supporter of Wonka as he was growing up. And then, of course, as most movies are, thanks to several movie makers of our time that oftentimes tell stories like this, Wonka's mom falls ill and eventually passes away. And before she does that, she hands him a piece of chocolate and kind of feeds into a dream that he has of becoming a magician and a chocolatier and somebody who just makes other people's lives better, who enhances human flourishing, who helps other people out through this gift of chocolate and doing magic. She hands him a piece of chocolate that he's been carrying with him for really a large part of his life. And she tells him, whenever you open your chocolate shop, whenever you become famous, whenever you go huge, like at that point, when you open up your shop, I'm going to be there with you no matter what happens to me. And that kind of fuels him. And if you've ever gone through life and you've had somebody who believed in you, who just pushed you to your dream, to be the very best version of yourself that you can be, you know exactly how incredibly powerful it is to have somebody who's like the wind at your back, who's pushing you and encouraging you and giving you wise counsel and giving you maxims that you might live by for the rest of your life. And in this particular case, Wonka's mom is that figure throughout the course of the entire movie. There are moments that stories flash back to his childhood, and there she is supporting him and walking through some of the peaks and valleys of his life. And so there Wonka is. He arrives in a large town. I don't know if it's named ever in the movie, but it's this incredibly large community where immediately he walks into the town square and begins selling chocolate. And one of the challenges of growing up without both parents and a strong education, and it seems like in some amount of poverty, is that Wonka never learns to read. So the very first day that he gets into this large city, a whole bunch of people start taking advantage of him, and they take him for his money, and he arrives with, you know, essentially 30, whatever the unit of currency is in the movie, and by the end of the first song of the movie, he's already given away or bought all the things necessary, so he's dead broke, and he finds himself sleeping on a street corner. At this particular moment, a dog rounds the corner with a pretty intimidating man who comes up with a deep voice and invites Wonka into what would essentially be an orphanage shelter, essentially, for people who don't have anywhere else to go. And in this particular scene, Wonka is on the cusp of essentially signing away his entire life into some form of indentured servanthood. It's not a particularly helpful or healthy orphanage that Wonka gets sent to. And so in the midst of everything that's going on, he opens up the terms and conditions, which are pages and pages and pages long, about all of the charges that he's going to incur just by sleeping on a bed or using the toilet or brushing his teeth, that will essentially set him up for a life of indentured servanthood to this particular orphanage. One of the girls who's already in the orphanage says, read the terms and conditions before he signs his name on the dotted line, but Wonka can't read at this particular point in the story, so he gets taken advantage of. I couldn't help in this particular part of the movie of thinking about all of the moments and all the people throughout the course of history who have been taken advantage of because they haven't had access to education, because they haven't been able to read, because they haven't been able to come to understand their own self-worth, that they were created in the image of God, and that there's nothing that anybody can do in all the world that can separate them from the love that they have in God through Jesus. Despite the fact that I believe that this is true, we know that many people experience this kind of exploitation. In our world today, there are millions of people who are subjected to all forms of slavery, an abhorrent reality that we continue to oppose and fight and push back against in our world. But that's where Wonka finds himself, sleeping in an orphanage and finding himself in a place where he becomes an indentured servanthood and he's unable to get out from underneath this trap that he's in. But he goes to sell his chocolate in town square and he does a magic trick and he starts selling this chocolate that seems to have magical properties right from the very beginning. You can tell he's a talented chocolatier. He's eager. He's enthusiastic. He's filled with impression and hope, and he believes that his chocolate's really going to make it rich. And frankly, if I could have chocolate that made people float in the air, I'd probably feel the same way. If there was something special about something that I made and it connected me to my family members and the ones that I love, I'd probably have the same optimism and enthusiasm that Wonka had in this particular film. And so he goes into this town square, but as soon as a crowd gathers around him, you know, the forces of our world and competition and free market systems can feel so threatened when a new product hits the market that is going to upend the economy. And so the three chocolatiers who run business in the community that Wonka walks in immediately take notice of the fact that Wonka's chocolate is clearly better. They taste it. They immediately know that this is something special and it's going to upend the entire industry. So they immediately begin plotting with all the key decision makers like the chief of police and all of the authorities within the town that Wonka's in to try to eliminate this competition. They want Wonka out of a job, out of town, out of a calling, essentially. And so they scheme against him and they do everything that they can to turn citizens against him to make sure that all of these barriers are created so that he can't sell in the marketplace. They know that if he did, he'd strike it rich and essentially ruin them forever. The movie hinges upon Wonka's struggle against these three characters in the movie, who do everything in their power to make it difficult for him to succeed. You know the rest of the story because you've probably seen Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. You know that eventually he goes on to have a successful business where they're able to mail golden tickets all across the country or the world where people are able to come and experience the joy of Willy Wonka's amazing magical chocolate factory. And you basically know how the story ends, but this is the backstory. It's about all that he had to go through to get to where he is. And there's this moment in the movie where he almost gives up on his dream. There's a moment where he comes to a place where he's ready to mail it all in. Essentially, these business owners come and present him an idea that says, essentially, if you stop selling chocolate, if you leave town, if you never sell chocolate again, if you get out of here, we'll allow your friends in the orphanage to be set free. And all of these other people that you've met along the way that you care about, we won't harm them. We won't cause any issues for them. We'll allow them to live peaceably. And as long as you leave town and give up on your dream, your calling, we'll call it a deal. And in this particular moment, Wonka, in a moment of weakness, in a moment of selflessness, he decides to mail it in. He gets on a boat as these three big business guys push him out there, and he goes out to sea, and there's this incredibly terrifying moment when he's out at sea, when he goes up to see who's at the helm of the ship as he's recognizing and realizing that probably these three dishonest businessmen are not going to keep their promise to his friends that they promised to liberate. And he goes up to the helm of the ship and he sees explosive devices all over the boat. And it's in that moment that he jumps off the ship and he survives the explosion. I think I've given away most of the plot line here, but suffice it to say, if you never see the movie Wonka, it's a powerful telling of the history of Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory and about his ability to overcome adversity to ultimately get to his dream. So many of us give up when things become difficult or when we recognize that the odds are not necessarily in our favor. And maybe that's why Jesus says, "You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world." Maybe that's why he encourages people who are following in his footsteps to be distinctive, to not hide their light under a bushel, but to let it shine, to allow people to see who we are, to use our gifts, to not be ashamed of them, to not allow the pessimism and the drama of this world to extinguish that flame or that light or that candle, to allow us to go out into the world and be the people that we feel called to be without being ashamed or afraid of the uniqueness of the calling that God has placed on our lives. There are so many things that Christians have done throughout history that people think are nuts, that they're crazy, that you'll never accomplish that, that you're too old, that you're too young, that you're not wealthy enough, that you're not educated enough. And those are the exact things, kinds of people that God tends to use over and over again to do extraordinary things. I've been listening to David McCullough's book about the Wright brothers. If you know anything about their story, you may be interested to know that their dad was a pastor. And when they went to Kitty Hawk for the first time to fly their flying machine, people in Kitty Hawk were ordinary and fairly religious people. What's fascinating about all the folks in Kitty Hawk is they believe that if God intended men to fly in airplanes or in any other flying apparatus, God would have given us wings. And they even said, "This is sacrilegious for you to go up into the sky. This isn't what God intended for humanity." Frankly, people said the same things about the bicycles that the Wright brothers were building. They said that it would break down community, that people would spend less time in their neighborhood because they'd be out biking. They said that biking would break down the nuclear family, that it would begin to blur the boundaries of one community and the next. A bicycle was a threat to community. You can only imagine what was being said about these flying machines, that they were a threat to the calling that God had placed on our hearts. "Don't get up in the air," people told them in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And yet they did. These two hobbyists were so enamored with the idea of getting a human being off the ground that they continued to build and they continued to tinker. Almost nothing could stop them. They were obsessed with the idea of flight, and they continued to develop this vision until ultimately their flying machine took off in the Outer Banks. It's an amazing story of perseverance. And this story of Wonka is another one as well. I'm here to tell you that I believe every single one of us has a God-given vision for what we're supposed to be doing in the world. Sometimes that gets cluttered with busy calendars or responsibilities that we have to take care of. One of my great joys as a pastor is watching people come alive when they're doing the thing that they are supposed to be doing. This last week at Vacation Bible School, there are all kinds of people using their gifts. There are teachers who have amazing classroom management skills. We've got a VBS nurse who's doing an amazing job of caring for every single student who comes running up to them and says they have a rug burn or a small paper cut on their fingers. Watching nurses do their thing is one of those moments where you clearly see that people are called to a particular kind of work. It's amazing to watch people who are gifted with preschoolers get up and sing songs that instantly get a room full of 5 and 6-year-olds to snap to attention and do exactly what they're supposed to be doing. What are you supposed to be doing? Maybe it's not launching an incredible line of chocolates. Maybe it's not developing a world-changing paradigm for candy. Perhaps it's not like this particular story of Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory. But this I believe with all of my heart. Each and every one of you is called to something. Maybe it's roofing. Maybe it's helping people who are hungry. For some of us, it's our occupation. For some of us, our calling is being an outstanding parent. For others, it's counseling other friends and family members who might be going through something challenging. I believe this with all of my heart, that each and every one of us is called to use that gift. And the other thing that I want to share with you is it took a tremendous amount of hope on the part of Willy Wonka to persevere through some of these moments of adversity. God gives us hope even when we're afraid, even when we're anxious about whether something's going to work out. There is a North Star out there. There's a God out there who's listening when we're having these dark nights of the soul, and God just sort of points to the North Star and says, just keep walking. I can't exactly tell you in this time how it might work out, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Don't give up. Don't give in. Almost no story that I've ever listened to in my entire life has been all up and to the right. Every story with any significance or that we like to hold on to or believe in humanity is filled with ups and downs and twists and turns. And your story is like that too. Anything worth doing is worth doing with our full heart. Any calling that we feel drawn to is going to face some kind of adversity. Any moment of adversity doesn't have to be the end of the story. It can if you give up, if you throw in the towel. But I think you should keep going. And so does God. So there's your North Star. Somewhere out there are friends who believe in the vision because they've seen it in you sometimes before you've seen it in yourself. Sometimes that vision is just you and you're holding it in your heart, but you can feel that something within you comes alive the moment that you start doing that thing. And in that moment, I pray you'll just keep going. No matter what the naysayers say about it, go use your gift. Be the light and the salt of the world. Amen.
One thing I ask, then I
As we close out this worship service, I want to thank you for joining us today. If something that we shared today was inspiring for you or kind of hit home for you, I want to encourage you to reach out to one of the members of our pastoral staff. We'd be honored to meet with you, to talk with you, to share with you a little bit more about what's going on here at our church. And we really believe this is a place where you can grow in your faith. So as you depart, as you go from this stream, from this worship service, I pray that God's blessing would be upon you and that as you depart from this place, you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.